Good morning and welcome. Welcome back. Glad to see all of your bright, shiny, happy faces here. Evening service. Yes, I did that for many years. It's good-ish. All right, so announcements. Our church, busy church year, is going to get kicked off in a couple weeks. So, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, the 9th, that week, we are going to kick off the Bible studies and the other pieces of it. For that, you are welcome to check out the slideshow presentation, the TV in the entryway, and utilize the QR code to get you into Right Now Media. It's a free gift from our church to you. It is a streaming site of a whole bunch of Bible studies. But why I'm highlighting this for you today is because on it now there our home screen is a list of stuff that we will be doing in our Bible studies coming up. So the Sunday evening Bible study, we're going to be looking at the why do we trust the Bible? So the history of how we got our canon today. So we'll go through a six-week session of that on Sunday evenings. On Saturday morning, the first and third Saturday mornings, and fifths, the men's Bible study is getting together, and we are going to become better husbands. So, wives, send your husband, 8:30 a.m. on Saturday morning. We are going to be working through the book, Just for Men, and going through the video series. It is one of those books that has profoundly changed my relationship with my wife, and it is a great gift. So, I encourage you to come and join me. If you are interested, come and see me, and I'll start making and compiling a list of who needs books. Then on Wednesday, we're doing something, and now I forgot what the title of it is. Wednesday has another great Bible study. We'll meet from 10 to 11 on Wednesday mornings. So those are coming up in 2 weeks. So get yourself excited by going to Right Now Media, to Alameda CRC's homepage, and scrolling down and seeing what's upcoming. All right, that is the announcements, just the preview. And then we go into, let's open with prayer here so I get my bearings and we can get back on track here. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for the beginnings, these beginnings, Lord, of doing life, the busy part of life, together. I pray, Lord, that in the midst of this morning that you would indeed continue to make yourself known, to glorify your name amongst us. In Christ's name I pray, amen. All right, so if you are able, please stand and we will do the call of worship today. Coming out of Psalm 145 and Isaiah 55. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Please join with me in singing our first song, and these are three selections that were some of Rick's favorites. So having come through the memorial service, we continue to honor him and remember what a gift he was to us from God. Would you join with me in singing? Mm-hmm.
After
God's greeting. I'm just kidding. No. Be seated. Receive the Lord's greeting this morning. Grace, peace, and love be yours. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, God calls us to confession. He calls us to recognize that we are dependent on Him for all things. So please say along with me that which is in yellow. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Our prayer of confession. We confess to you, O God, that we have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and are not worthy to be called your children. We have forgotten you. We have broken your holy laws. We have been wayward and disobedient. We have been selfish and unkind. For the sake of your dear Son, our Savior, we beseech you to pardon our sins, to make clean our hearts within us, and to grant us your peace. Amen. Our assurance of that forgiveness comes to us this morning from Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Thanks be to God. Let us join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the assurance that we have sung, for the assurance that we receive in your word, that your great love for us, Lord, is exemplified in you sending your one and only Son to die for us, that we may be made your children, that we may be forgiven, that in your grace, Lord, this free gift not dependent on anything we have done, on anything that we will do, but simply because you are gracious, you have given to us. So indeed, Lord, we sing of your glory, and we seek to praise you, and we worship you. We glorify you. Holy Spirit, thank you for moving us through this service. Thank you for the work that you are going to continue to do in our hearts. And may you, gracious God, receive all of the glory here this morning. And as your people, Lord, we lift to you those that are on our hearts. Heavenly Father, we first want to lift before you the Flood family. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bring comfort and peace to them. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to show yourself and demonstrate that you are their good shepherd, that you will never leave them nor forsake them, and that even in the midst of the grief and the sorrow, Lord, we find our hope and joy in the knowledge that Rick is fully in your presence, healthy and whole. And we wait and we yearn and we long, Lord, to be reunited with you, Jesus, with our dear friend, father, grandfather, husband, brother. Lord, grant us continued faith and grant us, Lord, your spirit to guard our hearts and our minds and keep us to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you also for the good work that you have done in bringing healing to Julian. We pray, Lord, that you would carry it to completion, to wholeness. We pray, Lord, that you would indeed be glorified in it. Lord, we also want to lift to you those that are heading out into the next piece of life that you have called them. Lord, we lift up Quentin and Summer and their kids. As they anticipate the move into Alaska, Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would prepare a place for them. That you would go before them, Lord, and make a good path. That you, Lord, would bring them into a community that would continue to grow their faith and their love for you, and that would continually point them to Jesus. I praise you, O gracious God, for giving them as a gift to us here. I praise you, O God, for their love and fervor to know you and to make you known. I pray, Lord, that you would continue the good work in each of their hearts, that you would, Lord, bring up their kids in the knowledge of you, Jesus, and that, Lord, they would be a family that brings glory to your name. Lord, we also lift before you Eugene as he heads into college. We pray, Lord, that you also would prepare a place for him amongst your people, that he may be encouraged to stand fast on your truth and your word in the midst of the winds that blow through academia. We pray, Lord, that you would anchor his heart in your word and that, Lord, you would use him to declare your truth amongst his peers and to the nations. We pray, Lord, for friends and mentors, servants of you, Lord, that you will use to continue to flourish his faith. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for him as well. We thank you, Lord, for giving him the wonderful and exciting endeavor into contemplating, Lord, your truth in the midst of the world he lives. I thank you, Lord, for his curious nature and his desire to plumb the depths of who you are. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to mold him and shape him, O Holy Spirit, to be a man of God, that you have desired him to be. And Lord, we pray for your continued work here and amongst your people at Alameda CRC. We thank you, Lord, that there have been opportunities to reach into and work alongside our community in Alameda. We lift up to you, Lord, our benevolence fund today, and we thank you for the opportunities that it has given to minister and to care for physical needs, O Lord. You have called us in your word that when we see one who is naked to clothe them, and one who is hungry to feed them, and one who is without shelter to shelter them, Lord, through this fund we have been given the profound good gift of serving alongside you in these ways. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to grant us your wisdom in navigating where, Lord, we can work alongside you and continue, Lord, to build your kingdom through us. Lord, we lift these and all of those others on our hearts, Lord, that continue to need your good presence and your healing. We rest them firmly in your care, knowing that you are good, that your will is good, and that we, O Lord, your people, continue to give testimony to your goodness. In Christ's name I pray, amen. At this time, I'll invite our deacons forward to receive our offering this morning, which will be for the Benevolence Fund.
Thank you.
right, family, we are continuing our series through Galatians. Being truly free. For when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So here, let's take out our Bibles. If you brought your own, fantastic. You're going with me in the Pew Bible. We're going to a Galatians. So open up your Bible to the second, third. We're going to the New Testament. The first books in the Bible of the New Testament are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are our Gospels. And then Acts, Romans. And we continue on. Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And then Galatians. If you hit Ephesians, you went too far. I went too far. Now I got to come back. Okay, so we're going to Galatians chapter 2. We're starting in verse 11. We're reading through 21. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, "If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force a Gentile to live like Jews? We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if you, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your truth. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us into your freedom in greater and greater ways. That we would let go, Lord, of that which entangles and ensnares, the sin, Lord. And embrace, Lord, your freedom. Living and thriving. To your glory, to your praise forevermore. Amen. So here we have the incident unfolding that Paul is giving to the Galatian church kind of as an example. An example of what they were doing, which is they were returning to slavery. They were returning to a small little cell that is windowless, that is oppressive, that is restricting. And so he recounts this interaction that he has with Peter. Now, we know Peter. If you've read the Gospels, we know him. I love him. As dense as he can be, the rock, not only do you get to use it as a foundation, but it's pretty hard-headed as well. And we see him continue to grow and mature into the leader that Christ had called him to be. And we go, way to go, Peter. And then we get this again. It's a good reminder to us, as Paul notes in here, right? That we're sinners. All of us. Even the heroes of the faith like Peter. The foundation of the church that God built, We mess up. We become hypocrites when we try and hide it. We're like, don't look at that. We become gospel-living Christians when we say, that's what I did. But this is what Christ did for me. And Paul's like, yes, you know, the grace of God is making me righteous. And in that, we don't return to that little cell. He was calling to Peter. He was calling Peter into the freedom that he had been enjoying. And why would he sacrifice it? Why would you sacrifice freedom? It seems so contrary to what we would consider to be logical and advantageous, and yet we do it all the time. Let's be honest with ourselves as Paul is honest with himself and with his church, as Peter was honest when he was confronted. We're sinners. We're selfish. And when Peter saw people were questioning his reputation and his standing in society because those people had set values. You are denigrating your position as leader of the Jewish church by associating yourselves with Gentiles. It strikes a nerve in Peter. A selfish nerve. And he turns and he goes right back to where he was. Sacrificing the freedom to explore the enormity of God's grace. Of his character. I was thinking about this and I thought, what can we use to illustrate this? And then upon pondering, I couldn't help but think then of the movie The Truman Show, starring Jim Carrey. The story is that a television company buys a person to be their entertainment. They carefully curate and design a world that is to contain him for the entertainment of others. And how do they curate and contain him? By placating to his desires and to his selfish core. But all through this movie, we see this unease in him. Because when we live in our own world, when we are convincing ourselves that we need, that we want, that it belongs to us, that we deserve it, that it is ours, that we just list all of these selfish pieces. We concern ourselves with building our image and creating something that people can admire and that they could be approving of, and we carefully curate this. But it's very small. It's oppressive. It's anxiety filled. All through the movie, there's this constant tension of an anxiety. Something's not right. It's not all fitting. all through the movie there are experts, like his friends that he grew up with, continue to highlight aspects of his selfishness to keep him there. You are afraid of the ocean because you lost your dad. You are content with living. You really want to have children, to be in this little town. That's all you need. All these authorities speaking these things into his life, highlighting his connectedness. We get it in the world all the time. Of course you want to be well regarded. Of course you deserve a good standing in community. Of course you should be comfortable. And we have them in droves with PhDs and a whole bunch of alphabet soup after their name telling us these same things. Stay in your cell. It's safe. And when we get out, for when we embrace Jesus and we taste and see that the Lord is good and we step into the vastness of his grace, that selfishness he takes and melts away. It is exciting and it is filled with wonder. But it is also risky. We're risking our self. We're making sacrifices of our self. We are giving up so that we might embrace something greater. And in this case, Peter had made it to the edge of the dome and opened the door, had gone out and entered into the real world. Only to meet a whole bunch of people standing outside of that door going, "Ah, Peter, you should really get back in there. So much safer back in there." Can you imagine then how the movie would end? Like there's a whole bunch of the townspeople standing outside and they're like, "But don't leave us. Don't you love us? You need to be in there. That's where you belong. You grew up there. You live there. You like everything there. Everything is specifically curated for you. Go back." And Peter, for a moment, he did. He went back in there and he's like, "Okay. Praise God that God sends his servants when we are dumb." Paul grabbed him by the scruff of his neck and he said, "No. Stop being selfish. Stop being self-centered. Because it is so narrow and so nearsighted. So little. God has called you into really living life to its fullest. To being free from the oppressiveness of expectations of all of those around you. A crushing weight of our self-focus and our selfishness. Anxiety-ridden world. It's trying to convince us that that's the normal way to live. So Paul says, no. That is no way to live. For when we live in it, continue to return to the world that we have been freed from, our testimony is diminished about the grace that we have been given. That's why Paul calls it hypocrisy. Talk about being freed in God to live an abundant life. And we settle for a little dome of selfishness. We talk about being loved by God, and yet then we serve the people so that they will love us. Our lives are defined then by ourself. And we get stuck in anxiety. We get stuck in hopelessness. We get stuck in the world. Praise God that He continues to remind us and continues to bring us into His light. So these are the five things that Paul reminds Peter. Peter knew these things. Many of us know these things, and if they're new to you, praise the Lord, welcome to the club. The first is set right before God by trusting in the Messiah. We are made right. He calls us justified, made right. Not by our works, but by His declaration. And He declares us righteous through His Son, the promised one, Messiah, the Christ, the anointed, the one who is our way into forgiveness, salvation, being reconciled to God. The next piece is that Paul reminds Peter that this entrance into the family of God was not dependent on works, which means that you staying in the family of God isn't dependent upon your works. And when we start to say and declare that if you don't do this, then you are outside of the family, means that we have now established a works righteousness, which is oppressive and not the gospel message. But it's risky. I have highlighted and sought to highlight through this entire morning of the selfishness that is of the world. And it bleeds into the way we look at this freedom. Because now we think we can freely do whatever we want. And that's a dangerous thing. A human heart wanting. We just came from that little world. Peter was drawn back into it. We get drawn back into it every day. It's a constant battle. No, you are not free to do whatever you want. You are free to do whatever God wants. And that is far better than what we could want. It's far bigger than we could imagine. And yet we tell ourselves over and over again, no, you know what? I don't want what God wants. I want what I want. And then we get stuck again. And it burns us. It backfires and explodes in our face. And we're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Well, of course you did. So this is the risky business of grace that opens up the expanse of God's character and his fellowship with him and one another. We are free, truly free from our selfishness. So it's not by what I do that maintains my freedom. It's my reliance on Jesus that continues to hold me in that freedom. It is my sacrifice of self that gives me the expanse of God's world and his grace. And that, dear friends, is a beautiful gift. Because it is a reminder every day of our growing dependence on Jesus. The more you live into that grace and that freedom to explore, the more you live into what God desires and sacrificing less of what you want, the more you realize your utter dependence on Jesus. As soon as you step into, oh, well, you know, now that God has set me free, I am independent and I can just keep walking. You stumble and you fall right back into the little show, the little town, the little world. Praise God that he reminds us that we are sinners. Sinners in need of him. And now Paul then says, look, you've been stripped of your good works. You've been stripped of thinking that you are independent. You are dependent solely on Jesus for everything. And it's not a consolation prize. It is the greatest gift anyone could offer. You are truly free to explore, to plumb the depths of God's love and the vastness of his grace, the unendingness of his faithfulness and the mercies that are new every morning. You're stripped of this, so we are, as Paul says, crucified with Christ. We have died to self. We have lit the dome on fire so that we cannot go back. It's not worth it. Because whenever we come back, what we say is, Jesus, you're not enough. God, your grace isn't amazing. Peter said, Jesus, you're not enough. You got to live like a Jew. Peter said, that grace isn't totally amazing. It might get you in, but here we are trying to establish. Establish this church. We're going to do it the way that we know, and that is the Jewish way. Paul reminds Peter, God's word reminds us today that that grace is amazing. It is amazingly scary and risky. It is amazingly wonderful and exciting. That is amazing grace of God. So, brothers and sisters, God's word is calling us into a true freedom to explore. It isn't hamstrung by our selfishness, our self-preservation. It is the freedom to run, fly in the vastness of God's grace. It is the freedom to let God be who he is and to watch him work through those around us as he wills it. And then to marvel at it. To be astounded by his magnificent and glorious work as we continue to lay down our lives and our expectations and our selfishness at the foot of the cross and let them die. As he continues to pour that grace of living and living abundantly in our life to usher us into this vast and glorious world of his presence, of his character. So I encourage you here this morning. I encourage you to step out of that small room and to ignore all of the credentialed authorities and well-meaning friends who've sought to tell you what the world tells you. Safe here in this little place. It's not safe. It is not good. But that you would listen to the authority of God's word in your life. As you have been given a gift, the complete forgiveness of all of your sins in Jesus, as you've been made right in the eyes of a holy God, to live unabashedly, courageously, with exuberance in his amazing grace. That you are free to explore. Would you join with me in prayer? Oh, gracious God, I recognize this morning that the life we now live is not our own, but it is you, Christ, that lives in us. You, Jesus, the Son of God, you have set us free, and we are free indeed. We are free to step out. We are free to finally breathe deeply. We are free to explore the wide country of your grace. Holy Spirit, convict us of the places in which we still think so small and hold on to our selfishness. Release, Lord, in us our self-preservation and allow us to lean into, Lord, your purpose and provision. Build in us, Lord, a dependence on you, Jesus, that grows every day. And, O gracious God, continue to make your church free. Because it is a witness to your glory and a declaration that you alone are worthy. Lord, I pray this. I pray it in your Son's holy name. Amen. Response, not what my hands have done. If you are able, you are welcome to join with me in standing and singing together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.